I think she did.
We had this meeting and we had a council of governments.
The para report.
I think she did.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
I can call this meeting to
send
order.
Send it to your kids on YouTube.
We don't have a gavel, but we have Legislator Burton and Legislator Myers present, as well as Legislator Parkham has joined us. Mr. Kester is not here. I hope that he'll be joining us later. And you will all introduce yourselves when the time comes. Maybe we should go around the room now and get you on record.
My name is Arlene Layuzzi, and I'm from the Child Care Council of Westchester.
Kathy Howes, Child Care Council of Westchester.
Howard Milbert, Westchester Early Childhood Directors Association and Austin Children's Center.
Susan Edelstein, Child Care Council of Westchester.
Diane Atkins, Deputy Commissioner, DSS.
Kevin Mann, DSS.
Cindy Beasley from the Westchester Early Childhood Directors Association and Kathy Harper, Child Care in Hastings.
Alan Farrar from Westchester Community Opportunity Program and the Westchester Early Childhood Directors Association.
Well, I welcome all of you. I think you all know we're here this afternoon. We're here this afternoon to talk about the cuts in daycare primarily. And I know that you've probably seen in the papers some of the pushback and concerns from the parents and all of the nonprofit agencies and the concern about this, as well as my own concern. The reason, well, we had said at one of the earlier meetings that you come back at the end of April, but of course it's not quite the middle of April. But anyway, what I think the committee wants to discuss any possibilities of these cuts being put off to some other areas, because I think it's a well-known fact that cuts in programs to children create all kinds of ripple effects. And we're looking at program cuts that will probably eventually increase your programs for home relief and child protective services, because many of these parents, if they're going to be out of jobs, they'll be out of child care, they will not be able to continue employment. So my concern is that by reducing or eliminating some of these programs, you're going to be increasing your cost in other areas. And I'd like you to address any possibilities of working around these cuts putting them in some other cost centers rather than child care.
Well, you know, we looked at, you know, no matter where we go in the Department of Social Services, we have effects on families and children. There's no getting around it. There's no easy answer to that. So you really look at areas that you're going over and above. We obviously took into account what would this do to our caseload and how that would affect the caseload. As we went through and looked at every area, we determined that, you know, from the scholarship perspective, none of those individuals were ever on assistance, hadn't been, and there would be no reason for them to come back on assistance. And we looked at the initial intent of the program was to help people who were above and missed, and we understand that. But it was also to bring more people into the regulated care. And we looked at the statistics, and that wasn't really happening at a great degree. As I said, you know, first I probably should have started out as we're a big supporter of daycare. We always have been. And we're still at, you know, $31.5 million dedicated to daycare, over almost $9 million we don't have to spend. But so that we looked at those. So that population really wasn't going to come to our doors. When you looked at Title 20, only 20% of the population has ever been known to the department on a year-to-year basis. So, again, we were not cutting anybody and taking anybody off of Title 20. We were just freezing it. So the impact would be, at least from our assessment, would be minimal in that respect.
Any comment from any
If you wouldn't mind just going back and helping us all understand how Title 20 works specifically. This $1 million, is the county's share?
The Title 20, really is a program that is optional, totally optional. Basically, what the state and the federal government says is you can use Title 20 funds for a certain population to pay for daycare, if you have any. Now, we have Title 20 funds, but we've used them to offset child welfare costs. We get a better reimbursement, and it's dollar for dollar in other areas. So we have funded the Title 20. We've kept the Title 20 moniker only because it defines a population. There's already rules set, so it's easy for us to do it. Should we have got additional money, we could have used the additional money to pay for that.
So what are you using the Title 20 money for?
It'd be child welfare, adult protective services.
And so how does the 1,000 get saved?
The million. $1 million gets saved. $500,000 is saved by increasing the parent share from 15% to 20%. Another $500,000 is saved in Title 20 by freezing it where it is. And the savings comes in because we typically have about 4 or 5 to 10, somewhere in that neighborhood, 10 in a rough month, maybe 12, families go off of Title 20 because they're not eligible anymore. So the savings is accrued over time because by freezing it, you're not replenishing that population. It's going down and we're saving money.
And how large is your waiting list?
Right now, we have started on April 1st. We have two individuals that we put on the waiting list, two families. Two families who didn't receive it before who are waiting, who are now not eligible.
But you've communicated basically don't even apply.
No, we've communicated. If you've seen everything I've said in the newspaper is, I don't want you to try to determine whether you're eligible or not eligible. Send it in. Because should something change at some point in time, and we never know if anything will, it doesn't look like it now, but we keep a list of your name and your address so that should something change, we'd be able to get a hold of you right away and start the process.
And you've heard two?
Two.
Sorry.
And how many will be falling off of it that makes you have your 500,000?
In March, 9 fell off.
And so where are they going?
They weren't eligible anymore.
Because
income.
They earned a little more.
It could be, it could be earned income. It could be that they didn't complete the form. There's any number of reasons why people aren't eligible. We've instructed staff, though, not, if people send something to lean on the positive end of chasing them down if they forgot something. We're not trying to do this through administrative stuff. So.
And you couldn't find $500,000 elsewhere?
$500,000, again, the first thing you look at is what are we going over and above? What are the things, the Department of Social Services is almost 90%+ mandated. There's cost there that says I have to do certain things, whether I want to or not. For example, that cash assistance caseload. When I was here for my budget, I had said, boy, this is awfully skinny. It was cut by the budget office here before you all got it. And had said that we probably should add a little bit more in there. Right now, we're about 80 behind what our estimate was. Last month, 2,000 people in Westchester lost their unemployment insurance benefits. If one third of those come, I'm over my
money.
So you really, again, we're looking at things as they change. Now, August, this might be different, but as we sit here today, this was, and that's why we went to COPS also. Now, we didn't take a lot out of COPS. It took about $500,000 in expense. It translated into a little over $100,000 in tax levy. But those are optional programs. So where you're looking first is optional programs.
Are you thinking that you're only going to save $500,000 in California?
Right now, that would be our sense as we sit here. I mean, remember, there are certain populations I have to still continue to cover, whether... So if somebody goes off assistance and makes enough money to reach Title 20, they're going into Title 20. if somebody makes more money off of in low-income daycare, they don't get kicked off. They go into Title 20.
That can't be Title 20.
Can you clarify that for a second? Just a minute. Let's let the legislators have a chance.
I'm sorry.
Legislator Burton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you analyzed this? Is it fair to say that you have analyzed this by dividing the world into two parts? Those which are mandated by either the federal government or the state government with a share from the county, and those that are not mandated, and usually it's county funds that pay for those non-mandated. Is that a fair way of describing how you looked at this?
First cut is mandated, non-mandated. Mandated services
and
are...
So you can't do anything about the mandates.
Cannot.
So the non-mandated and that non-mandated collection basket of services has some outside money and some county money mixed in depending on what the program is.
Sometimes, yes.
Yep.
Some
not,
of them
but
are
not
100% local. For example, the rental assistance program. Mm-hmm. That's not mandated. It's 100% local, but it's basically kept 100 families out of our shelters.
So you have prioritized that second category,
yes.
By most needed at the top or the bottom, and then less needed as you go away.
Right.
And you have cited these programs as the least needed, and that's why you've gone after them.
These are the ones that we have felt would have the least amount of impact on
least
our operation.
Okay,
yes.
Least impactful. Right. The cuts would be least impactful. Not non-impactful, but
right.
Least impactful.
Right. Anytime you reduce
that's
funds.
A fair description, though, of how you've arrived at this.
Yes.
Could we see your listing of all of these programs in the second category?
Yes.
Thank you. If you could communicate to the chair, I'd be very appreciative of seeing this.
It's basically what we did for the, we basically took all the mandated out to show you how much money we have.
No, we'd like to see that. It's a worksheet. Look, we recognize that there's some of this stuff is going to go on, and part of it is just to get a handle on what's coming down the road. We're a month away maybe from seeing what the sales tax revenue is. Mm-hmm. We could very well get bombed. Everybody wants to believe that things are going to turn around. They are turning around. And I got no idea. I don't feel particularly positive in my own life, but I hope it does. But if not, I really, really want to see what we're looking at, because this is just the beginning. We know everybody said it. Nobody's trying to lie to anybody. But I really would like to see how we've gotten to where we are and how we're going to get to the furthers. Thank you.
Yeah, we know, going into our budget next year, right as we sit today, about $40 million in the hole in tax levy. Now, there are bills, there are things working their way through the process that will lessen that.
Right.
But even when you back all those things out, you're still looking at a significant sum, somewhere in the neighborhood of the 20s. And then you've got to put what the state's going to do to you on top of that. Now, the state, when they only had a $7 billion deficit before the $9 billion deficit. One, there's three different budgets sitting up there. One of them hit us to the tune of $4 million tax levy. The one in the middle hits us about 2.5. And then there's one that hits us about 1 point, where the governor's actually hits us the least. But there's other things going on that are have dynamics that have unintended consequences. For example, summer youth program, and we put almost 1,000 kids to work last year. Typically it's 400 to 500, but we have the additional stimulus money. That's gone, but it would still be 400 to 500 kids. That's about $800,000 in TANF money. But that wasn't in my operating budget. So that loss is painful because we're going to have kids who we can't put to work, and that really helps the families, but it doesn't hit my operating budget. If the state puts that back in, that $800,000 is not into my whatchamacallit accounts. It comes into my relief accounts, which now hits my operating budget and jumps up my hit and my tax levy. So, there's a lot of things that happen because, we have to wait and see how all these things play out. But what we do know is we're going to have a huge hole at the end of this process. It's just how big. And right now, as we see it, the smallest possible haul is still in the mid-20s. That's a lot of money in tax levy to make up. If I had to make up $25 million in tax levy out of CANA funds, I'd have to have $100 million in expense. Not sure. Doable.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really the issue as we go forward. Yeah, the stimulus money was a double-edged sword. It got you through the 1 year, but it gave you a false sense of security. You know, when they're sending you $36 million, it's a wonderful thing for that year, but the next year, you got to pay the piper. So, and the federal government is only ponying up as we sit now.
Yeah.
Could that change? But no one's saying they're going to go to 100%, but who knows as you go forward. But again, if I wait to do something, I'm in trouble. You know, we're a big ship, and we don't turn it on a dime. It takes a while to turn that ship around to get into a position so that you can be fiscally responsible. And it, you know, everything we do is a painful cut, and we understand the impact of these things. Trust me. We wouldn't do them if we didn't have to.
Just a second. Mr. Harkin?
I'm good right now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We've been joined by Legislator Tesker.
Sorry for being late.
We're looking at this sheet.
Okay.
Yeah. Does anybody else? We have extra ones if anybody needs them. We're good?
Yeah. Can I ask
a question? Yes.
I know, I'm coming in the middle of something you might have already talked about. I'm sorry if that's the case, but I've gotten a number of calls. I remember you were here not too long ago, and you mentioned to us how the Title 20 funds, you were just not maxing out the program, and you were not going to bring anybody new on. Everyone who was in service now was going to remain in service. Is that the case?
As long as they were otherwise eligible, that's correct.
So I just wanted to make sure, because I think people have gotten the wrong message on that.
There's a lot of confusion out there.
Some of it purposeful, some of it not.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I think some people have stirred up the pot a little bit on the issue by scaring people into thinking that they're in there now and they're going to be removed. It's just that no new clients are coming in. That's basically,
and even that's a little misleading, because if you're in low-income daycare and your earnings go up to where you were no longer eligible for earned income, but you were eligible for Title 20, we are just shifting you into the Title 20.
So what happens with summer camp?
That's not what we're being told.
From whom?
Right, that's not what you're being told from subsidies.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Keep going. No, this is new.
We've been told that that if you are making more, then you are no longer eligible for a scholarship because you are now in the Title 20 range. That's what the workers are telling us, and they are denying claims.
We will fix that if that's the case. That was one of the first things my program director asked me and said, okay, do we freeze these people out? I said, no.
So you're continuing the seamless aspect of that until
only new ones.
So anyone who has Title 20 now and continues to deserve it will continue.
Absolutely.
And does that apply to summer camp as well?
If they're not on now, there'll be a new application and they'll not be eligible.
But if they're on now,
that is problematic, and that summer camp applications were delayed till, not delayed, but weren't accepted until May 1st.
So they won't be eligible.
Mm-hmm. So no new children going to summer camp who are scholarship eligible.
Title 20.
Title 20 eligible children will be able to get a subsidy at this point. Or the other problem that we do have is when we have new enrollments in the fall.
Yeah.
It is. Well and good to think of this as a process where the numbers slowly drop down, but the way it actually works is that in the summer we get a lot of new applications for Title 20 for summer camp, and then again we get new applications for the entire school year, all of those families will no longer be eligible. So the way the savings...
And how many families do you normally get during that?
Well, for us, that would roughly be about 15 to 20.
And that's
at
just
my center,
Austin
center.
So West Cup, it's about 66.
Which would have been problematic to begin with. We were, when we started this problem, we were at 377 slots. We were budgeted at 400. 400 slots.
Yeah. So you were close to your budget.
We would have been over if we would have been in trouble.
Oh, no, because these are for people who would be leaving.
No one has additional space.
You're saying they're coming in at whatever, and I'm only losing 9 a month.
But you won't be losing 9 a month. You see, that's what we're saying.
The four-year-olds all leave to go to school.
Exactly.
So that's the problem.
But anyway, as I said, we would have been thinking about, if the number gets over 400, we would have been thinking about doing something else. In all honesty, I would not have done anything for 2 or 3 months because obviously it's an average over, and we would have waited to see, but we were close to the budget anyways.
Okay. I have two things. One, just going back to the waiting list, just to let you know, I'm the subsidy coordinator at the Child Care Council of Westchester, and as such, I'm kind of a liaison between DSS and parents and us. And I speak to dozens of families a week, and I could tell you none of them that I've been counseling is willing to go through the process of filling out that very difficult application and providing all that documentation to send it in to be told there are no funds.
Yeah,
so I think the waiting list of 2 is a very difficult number to accept because most of these, I would say almost every parent says, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait to hear if it's open again, and then I'll apply because this is a waste of my time. So I think that waiting list is a little bit skewed. The other thing I just wanted to ask, if you're saying that we're freezing Title 20, is the desire to, and we're not opening new cases as they close unless they're coming from low income or other sources, so does that mean eventually this through attrition will end? Is that the plan?
The plan is through the end of the year.
Okay.
Every year is a new budget year. Every year brings new challenges and new opportunities. As we go forward, I can't, at this point in time, predict what the economy is going to be. I can predict what my budget outlook is for next year, and we will be taking a hard look at everything. And the first things we'll be looking at are optional programs. Mm-hmm. Optional programs are defined by the department as those that we're not mandated to do. Now, does that mean you're going to wipe out everything? Obviously, we did a lot of analysis on this with respect to bringing families back on. There's a fiscal impact, and then there's an impact on the families. So we're cognizant of those things, but the fact of the matter is when we provide to you the list of what we determine as discretionary funds, and tax levy, even that has a ridiculous factor in there that says we could run the department with half the people we have. Not doable, but we use that just to show people we weren't trying to pad it. So when you look at those things and you see what's included in there, you'll see what the optional things are. Some of those have a direct one-to-one that they're saving us a lot of money someplace else. So there's not a lot of wiggle room in a department budget our size. It's one of those remarkable things when somebody says you're talking about a billion-dollar operation, because that's what we're really talking about. You're talking about $576 million operating budget, but that's because we don't budget the cost of Medicaid. We just budget our share. If we budgeted the whole cost of Medicaid like we do with every other program, we'd be up over $1.3 billion operation. But the vast majority of it is, if you walk through the door and you're eligible, I've got to pay. So that's the hard part, and that's where it's going to come in. And as you can see, when you're making cuts in these areas with these amounts, the amount of interest and the amount of that people are talking about, you can't be doing this. Just imagine what it's going to be as you go forward and try to find $25 million, $20 million, $40 million in this budget. This is just a remarkable time.
I wanted to make a couple points. One, first to the comment that perhaps there had been some misinformation put out there, I wanted to clarify that we've worked, you know, very closely with DSS to try to get the correct information out there. And we'll continue to do that. I know that very recent, this week, I think we sent out another email to folks. Some people are confused about what Title 20 means. They think that's all subsidy. I had a vigorous conversation with the director just the other day saying, no, it's not all subsidy, it's just Title 20. So again, you know, we're taking great pains, I think, to try to get the right information out there and working closely with the department to do that. And we've also tried, I think, not really to stir the pot. And we were hopeful that, you know, perhaps, you know, not all the cuts would go through. But now that they are, you know, we think it's our responsibility, certainly, to have a, you know, conversation about that. At a previous meeting, I know I said that if I were in your seat, I might have made the same
bad
choices, right? I know that's what
it.
I said.
I've used that quite often.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But the same difficult choices that you've had to make.
Right.
But since I'm not in your seat, I'm in a different seat. And over the past few years, there have been so many great steps made to shore up and strengthen childcare so more people could participate in it. And I don't think we ever really knew what the tipping point was with the copay. We certainly knew that 33%, which is what it was a few years ago, was way too high. And it went from 33 to 25 to 20 to 15. And remarkably, you know, hit 10%,
yeah.
10%, which is as low as it could go. So I have to think that 20% is going to be too much to bear for a certain number of families.
Again, you know, let me say that we're doing this in a conversational mode, and I don't want anyone to think that I don't understand the impact on our own families. But, you know, when we looked at other places and other areas around us that have high expenses, you're still at 20% in the lower half of the state.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, New York City, I think, is 35%. You know, most of the places I think on the island, you know, somebody might be 17, but they're either 20 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for a family of three at the top of 36,000, it's less than $20 a month or week. And $20 obviously was being used for something else.
Right.
So there's no getting around that it's not going to affect somebody. So I'm not going to even try to pretend that, because it is. It's just a matter of, do we think this is reasonable? And we think at this point in time it's reasonable.
Well, I think speaking for some of the other advocates, I think our position has been that the cut shouldn't be coming from DSS at all.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one thing that I think, you know, you got to put that in my lap. So this is what I said I thought we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a number of people said, well, why are you taking so much of this $16 million? But I think it's lost on everybody that over $4 million of it is good work and good savings, and it's going to happen whether you want, you know, short of me ordering my child welfare people to go out and grab kids, the foster care savings is there, it's going to happen, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you move those things, same with the housing. In the housing, we identified in our budget when we came
sense.
In.
Mm-hmm.
We said, you know, we can save this tomorrow, all I need is a guarantee from you all that if something happens, you'll let me open up a shelter in your neighborhood. And everybody left and said, okay, we'll leave it there and try to, you know, and let you take another 6 or 7 months. So those savings are real and they're good things. There are no reduction in services. So then when you take that down, now you're talking, you know, about $1.5 million out of the 16.
I just want to hold.
Was that new?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This point sort of follows that. You know, from my perspective, I've always been a big fan of your department. You're well run. You're a model for many other counties. You know, we know that the foster care savings are there every year. That's a rollover, and the shelter thing we've discussed at length. Those are real savings. And we're talking about the other stuff, though. We are talking about real kids. We're talking about
yes.
families. And I know you know better than anyone the pain and the dislocation that's gonna cause. My quibble is not so much with you and your department. Obviously, we all get our marching orders. This is a point that we've all made going back to the budget last time, and this is a message for, it was the past administration and this administration. You know, the private sector and the not-for-profit sector have consolidated their administrative functions. They've reduced real estate holdings. We've identified tens of millions of dollars in the budget that this year we could actualize savings from merging departments, shedding real estate, doing those kinds of things. So again, this is not really directed at you. You're doing what you've got to do under the circumstances you are given. But I think the position of many of us on the board is we agree that we need to cut this budget. We all agree to that, and you know, we have the same fiduciary responsibility as the administration does. But I think I speak for several of us. I'm not claiming to speak for people at this table, but on this board, when I say we'd like to work with the administration to take savings from other parts of this budget, mm-hmm. other parts of this government, because it is. The government is too big, it's too spread out, it's too mm-hmm. unwieldy. I think we'd operate in a more efficient manner if we streamline things. I really have a hard time when we're talking about real kids, real families. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I also want to address the comment that was made earlier in that about families losing their scholarship. We do have families losing their scholarship. We have families losing the Westchester County scholarship. I have 13 children that are on the Westchester County scholarship. They will no longer have that assistance. And these parents do not know how they are going to be able to pay for their child care. So it's not a matter of stirring the pot. There is a lot of information out there that folks might not quite understand, but there is a real effect here.
I'm not saying anyone at this table did that. I'm just saying that in many of the conversations I had in my district with people, there are on much lower levels, on the things have been said, knowing that it was not correct, and just in a way to rile people up, and whether you want to believe it or not, it does happen, and I've seen it many times, and I saw it just recently, and there are people who may not understand the Title 20 versus some of the other programs, which I think is part of it, but some of the parents that I know that I spoke with directly were purposely given false information. Not from anyone at this table, not from anyone.
I'm just saying, it's extremely complicated and very mysterious.
Sometimes people who provide these services get concerned about their business, quite frankly. So it's a reality that's there, and I'm not saying it happens on a large scale, but it does happen. And I just wanted to clarify, which is why I asked about the Title 20, just to make sure I didn't make a mistake when I clarified to those people what the actuality was of the situation. So
there's a lot of anxiety.
Of course there is, absolutely.
Things. A lot of anxiety about this.
And people who provide the services will not be working, so that will be another issue for the Department of Social Services. So then, I mean, that's a big issue.
Well, that's the real ripple effect.
That is a huge ripple.
Yes, we may be able to garner, you know, $500,000 more in revenue by asking for more of a copay, and we'll garner $500,000 in savings by not giving out any new Title 20 child care. But what are we going to do then about the people who can't work then? And what if they need assistance?
Right.
Isn't that going to be aren't you cutting off your nose to spite your face? You know, if you're cutting out what's supporting people and keeping them in the workforce and keeping them earning money, you're going to see there's going to be, and if you're cutting out the ability to attend a child care center, and people there are losing jobs. I mean, I think you're looking at a much greater decrease than a mere 500,000 dollars just from freezing Title 20. I mean, I have a feeling we're going to see a greater decrease because of an increased use of other social services.
We also have small businesses in our community that rely on these parents. And there are parents who say they can no longer work, and there are business owners who have been calling to try to find out what is actually happening. And not just small businesses, we have businesses like Costco, Stu Leonard's, where we serve quite a few families who are employed there.
It's a very difficult time, and I know we have 500 employees, and God forbid we have to let anybody go, because our employees, many of our employees are one paycheck away from losing a house. I mean, if I told you how many advances I have to give for them to pay their rent, it's very sad. Child care workers are not your big money makers in this county. They are poor. So if they're afraid for their jobs, we should be afraid for them too. Mm-hmm. So when they're calling you frightened, I'm fearful for them.
Given the tremendous ripple effect that this is going to create, it seems to me that possibly the administration should look at that, not just in terms of your immediate cost involvement, but the total ripple effect, the people employed, the employers, the possible increase in your DSS, other DSS services, and even though your piece of the budget may be significantly larger than some other departments, it would seem to me that because of the effect on children and their parents is so detrimental, and children are basically our future. I know that that's the placebo. You know, everybody says, oh, well, you know, children are our future and all of that. In this country, we've never practiced in that manner. Maybe we should start doing that now. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility that you could go back to administration, or administration would reconsider the percentage or the amount of cuts in terms of the fact that it's going to affect not just these specific children, but whole families, and it's going to affect their employers, and this whole piece is going to mushroom into something much larger than you may have anticipated initially.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we looked at it again, I think the thing is we're not taking anybody off who's on. The largest part of our program can grow. The low-income daycare, which is the biggest part of our population, has no cap on it.
So people just have to make less.
Yes.
Well, of course, you know, that doesn't make sense to me.
But that's what you're saying. We're
going to get the money for that.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, what you're talking about are choices that individuals have to make. You know, when you're, again, there is no easy way when you're reducing. You know, if I had reduced preventive services, the vendors in the preventive services would have come in and had the same type of thing. But those are mandated services.
Yeah.
These are optional.
No, I understand.
So, and we took the high end of the optional. Now, again, in Westchester County, I'm not talking buckets of cash, but at least from a perspective of the people who were most able to afford increases, we did the best we could do.
I just have to give you an example, because I had a child care worker who actually came to me, and she said, Ellen, we got a $600 raise.
And she gets low-income daycare?
No. I don't know which one she gets, I'll be honest with you, but she lost child care and health services.
She went out of Title 20.
No, she couldn't have gone out of Title 20.
So then she would have moved up to high.
She wouldn't have lost anything then.
Right. She would have moved up to Title 20.
So, I mean, it may be some of that is...
What's the health care? Because she wanted to go back to her old salary.
Well, you know, the health care, you know, if you're talking Medicaid, those are different schedules set at different levels. You know, at some point in time, they have to stop. but that's a whole other issue.
No, but
that's
I know
really
what
mine.
I pay her.
Right.
So that she's not making a lot of money.
Okay, then if she's not making a lot of money and she's currently getting low-income daycare, she would continue to get low-income
daycare. But she doesn't think she's going to get Title 20.
Well, I'm telling you that...
That they will continue right. them all on Title
If somebody's originally making
we were told,
a mistake...
She was told no.
We were told no.
If somebody,
send
made that
back.
Leap, mm-hmm. then we'll go back and we'll make sure that that's...
Send
that's
her back. Right.
She already got the raise?
Yes. Oh, no, I'm not. I can't take the raise away.
No. She already got the raise and she got a denial notice that she wasn't eligible.
Yes, that's what she told me. I didn't go through it, but that's what she said. She lost her... She was on one of those subsidy health programs in the county,
Medicaid. Okay. Medicaid. Yeah.
Right.
But the child care I'm asking about, she already got a denial notice that she
I
wasn't eligible?
That's what she said, yes. I'll check.
When did she get her raise? April 1st?
Yes, we just did it.
Well, that isn't supposed to happen.
Okay.
We've been adamant about that, so we'll... Mm-hmm. Staff are confused. We'll unconfuse.
Did you have the same experience that people are being told?
Yes, that's why I mentioned it.
And I did, and you were right. There are misunderstandings because I believed that there were no Title 20 new applications, even if they went from.
That's what we were told.
We were told that, right?
Everybody is.
So we all are.
I think what the difference is what you're determining as new applications. Mm-hmm. If they were already in the system, if they were already in low income, they go right into Title 20.
Yeah.
We didn't consider that a new application.
No, but we were told
no.
You'll clarify it.
Because, we heard that
you'll fix that. You'll fix that.
Yeah,
okay, we like your version.
That's much better.
We like your version.
Yes, that's go ahead.
I just to go back to your example about mental assistance. So if families stay in their homes, you save a lot of money because you don't have to open a shelter and those families do not lose their homes and go into it. It's not dissimilar to market because if they don't lose their job but they come very close to that and their kids don't have a Title 20 subsidy, then those children are going to because they're not going to be in safe situations, they're going to fall into at-risk. And they're going to fall into a whole bunch of other categories. It's still going to cost you the money.
But we're talking
That's
about families who don't get Title 20 now. So they're managing them.
But I'm talking about families that do get Title 20 now.
They're not losing their subsidy.
But people that might get new jobs that would have qualified.
I understand that. But again, that's where we drew the line. People were managing and doing what they were doing at the level they were doing it. So that's why we said, no, we're not affecting anybody who's on.
It's a whole new population. You have a six-week-old baby you weren't managing yet. You didn't have it.
Exactly.
I think that
right,
it's not like a whole new... Here are these people who have been doing a wonderful job managing everything, and then they're suddenly coming to ask for Title 20. I know.
You're asking me to justify a hard decision.
I know. You don't want to justify
it. When you're looking at a deficit that's well beyond no matter what we do, somebody will be sitting in your chair saying you can't do this.
but again, why should it be your department that is forced to take these cuts? You've already cut.
Again, this was the county executive asked me what I thought we could do.
So you've done... It looks like a lion's share with the foster care savings and the other savings that had little or no impact on families. I mean, that seems to be quite a reasonable amount. Now, to go beyond that and have all of these problems and then create new problems as families are not served, as children are not well prepared when they enter the school system, seems to be just something that could be averted. And we're hoping that you would be able to do this. We know that you have worked extremely well with the daycare community, that we have an exemplary daycare system, and that with the Westchester County Scholarship, Westchester has had a long history, both through Democratic administrations and starting with the Republican administration, where the Republicans first realized that this was an important way of improving the economy. I mean, those of us who have been around a long time know that O'Rourke
was the biggest
pushed child care and pushed daycare as a way of improving the economic viability and sustainability of this county. And it worked. It worked very well. And to start dismantling a system that is working doesn't really make sense from our point of view.
I think your chart may be a little bit misleading. Legislator Myers pointed out that in your child care column where it says no new Title 20 cases effective April 1st, I think that gives the people, I mean, I don't think people understand that what you're saying, you're not really saying no new cases, you're saying something a little different, and I think maybe that's where the misinterpretation probably came from.
Well, there are no new cases that are not in the system.
But they were Title 20.
But if you have
low income,
income, low income can yes.
We'll
can
clarify
transfer.
That.
Yes. Yes.
So that
but could we say in that box, instead of no new Title 20, only new Title 20 if transferred from low income?
Well,
would that be a better
we'll
way of putting
the verbiage around so that it becomes clear?
I mean, Howard, from our point of view, that would clarify to providers.
Yes.
Only transfers from low income to Title 20 will be accepted as of 4-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
How many people are going to...
It's an explanation without being a change. But it's a fair thing, and I think we'd appreciate that very much. If you can communicate that to your staff so that it can get out to the provider world, that this is what we meant.
The minute I get back, it'll be communicated.
Well, it's 5 minutes of 4.
It'll still be on voicemail.
Can anything be done to possibly have a compromise in this? Is there a possibility of a Title 20 freeze where those, as a family leaves the system, another one is put in? Is that a possibility? Is there also a possibility of having some
capping
funding?
It, yeah. In essence.
Yes,
so
and capping it. A cap instead of a freeze, and of keeping those families who are already on the Westchester County Scholarship, also on the Westchester County Scholarship, until they leave.
And making it 17 instead of 20, because they just got the 5%, because we just went from 10 to 15, and now we're going from 15 to 20 in a very short period. They're crying about that, right? That's a big jump. Arlene gave me all the figures. I couldn't pay what the jump is.
Yeah. Well, the jump between 2009 and June 1 is a big jump. The interim jump is not as large.
No.
But the jump in the 6 months is pretty.
Right.
It's double.
It's double. So maybe if you just did a little bit less. Anyway, but those are some suggestions to keep people.
I mean, that would help. I am not in favor of cutting anything from the program.
Yeah. It's a lot for you to offer a compromise.
I know. I realize how.
And
difficult
I actually
this is.
I can appreciate that.
Yes, I'm sure you can. But I think, given
even
the situation,
at 350, because we're down to 350 now, just capping, and hopefully.
I think.
Hopefully, can you believe I'm saying this? Hopefully, everybody will be eligible for the income by the end of this year.
But also,
if the economy doesn't get better,
everybody's going to be.
We hope that the economy will get better and that we will be able to revise these going up. But, I mean, the way it stands right now, I think we are just affecting too many families, too many people, too many centers, too many industries. It's just, it is a very, very painful position that we're in right now.
Kathy?
I just wanted to bring to the committee's attention, we have a specific concern about summer camp and folks not being able to access that. One of the meetings we had recently, there was somebody here, I think, from a Y program in Yonkers who said that many, if not most of her families, she believes, might be Title 20 candidates and hadn't applied for summer camp, and she was very concerned about what was going to happen to those children. And second point is, school budgets are still, you know, in flux, but a number of urban districts are saying that they may cut their pre-K programs. Mm-hmm. Yonkers has about 1,600 children funded, and they provide a full-day program for those children. And if they put a lot of local dollars in, obviously, to make that work. So if that program were to go away, some, I think, large number of families would then be looking for subsidy. And White Plains, Peekskill, Mamaroneck have all,
Mount
Vernon. And Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just about everybody. Basically saying that they may not be able to do pre-K. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to pick up the cudgels for the commissioner. Far be it from me to say that the administration is between a rock and a hard place, but the administration is between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. It is not the ability of this county to subsidize the school districts of the cities and the large districts. We just can't.
We were suggesting that maybe the state pre-K money could come to you to pay for it. Because the state's not cutting it, the local cities are because of tax.
Right, which means that it
they can't. They can't take the pre-K money and throw it into the general fund or whatever, can they?
No, they don't take it.
No,
they don't take it. Period. Well, right. But maybe it's because the state's withholding it.
No. It's because of their local match. They don't want to match.
They want to do their match, so
the state is then using that as to help backfill their.
That'll be fund balance.
I think they count on the school districts not necessarily taking it all.
Well, that's an interesting calculation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why last year, 2 years ago. You were really trying to those communities that didn't use their pre-K.
If you were in a position to now's the time that we can conceivably get the elected officials in Albany to jump on that. Mm-hmm. So if you could put together a letter, I mean, I don't mean to preempt the chairs, but if you could put together a letter so that we could then raise this with our delegation. Because if the money's going back, then that might be something that would not be inappropriate for us to try and tap.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Long shots are made to be coming in.
Wouldn't that be an interesting?
It would be a very interesting thing. Thank you for educating.
Is this a match issue?
Yes, it's a local match.
Yeah.
How would you resolve the match issue?
Well, because it's a pot of money, and you just say, forget the match, just give us the money.
Because people they don't allow federal funds.
They do. They allow daycare and pre-K. Right. They allow Head Start and pre-K. That's part of their.
But the school districts are not
automatic.
They're not
matches.
Obligated to match. They find that what they get from the state is not sufficient. So they have.
I would agree with them wholeheartedly on that.
So would we. But the cost. And actually, they're supposed to be doing more subcontracting with community-based programs than they are currently. Yonkers does virtually all of it in their own school districts at, you know, public school salary.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? So I think those dollars could be used. They could be funded through their
kids. I'm actually with Head Start to give child care to children who are not eligible for daycare because of their status, legal status.
I'm just not familiar with the fiscal aspect of that program.
Me neither, but wouldn't it be creative if the county did something?
Well, it's creative if you can use their money to bring down more of their money, but typically they frown on that. They have on occasion how they're
spending
their
own money.
Other monies to pull down federal money, but again, without being, I couldn't comment on that one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Without knowing the fiscal implications, you could end up getting yourself into a real boondoggle. Right. But, you know, because typically, if it's too good to be true.
This isn't too good to be true. State pre-K is tough money, but it might be an interesting way of doing it.
We're always looking at ways to make, that's how we got ourselves in this COPS business. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm funding programs for other departments, mm-hmm. and then when you got to reduce them, they're yelling at me, why you're cutting that program? You know, wait a minute. we're saving everybody money, but we're on the hot seat all the time for programs that aren't really things that we normally would have funded. Yeah.
Is there any possibility of increasing the number of Head Start programs so that we can then push to have that fund, those funds, and the difference?
This may a fund finding session, fund FUND.
Right.
That
probably needs to take place away from this committee, this is something that maybe you could consider. I don't know. It sounds a rather awkward kind of meshing together, but it may be possible if you do it under as Ellen suggested. I don't know. But I think right now we've exhausted as many possibilities, and I think everyone has had a chance to speak that wanted to make some comments. I thank you for coming and making the picture that much more dismal. I'm sorry.
Thanks for much.
There was some clarification which helped.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'll go back and fix that.
Kevin's going to have a voicemail out before you get back to your office.
We'll do a robocall.
Hi,
this is Commissioner Mann.
We will take care of that right away.
Okay.
And if there's somebody who's adversely affected, we'll go find that and fix it.
Yes, that will help. And I thank you for coming again.
Thanks.
I thank all
thank
of you,
you
for coming.
Thank
you
for
your interest. Before we adjourn, we have...
You know, we may want to change the minutes to reflect that. I noticed on March 16th that we have said we are increasing the parent share of those receiving Title 20 subsidy for 15% to 20%, and we are freezing all new Title 20 applications as of April 1. So no new applications.
Well, I think in the new minutes we should clarify, but I don't know that I want to change.
Yeah, we can't change that, but we need...
So on that basis, I move those 3 minutes.
That's what I thought we were going to
do. Well, we need to make...
Clarify on the new minutes.
It'll last longer, but it's still going to be.
All right, the minutes have been moved.
I thought your suggestions were terrific, but nobody
asked.
What?
You're having.
That's
it.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
That is what the new budget. Unless something along.
Thank you, guys.
Okay,
now we
have
to wait. The chair will be quick.
Can I?
It's a little awkward, and the computer's not working, and the horrible.
No. So.